Welcome to this week's episode of Unmaking It. I'm Olivia Flash. We have made it to the last episode before we go on a short break, and this episode really is different. Most of the people I've interviewed on this podcast have recently, or not so recently, quit their jobs, gone through the confusing period of excitement and nervousness that follows, and made it to the other side unscathed. But today's episode takes place in that period of uncertainty. Natalie talks to us about slowing things down. She tells us why a period of uncertainty can sometimes give us the most clarity and fuel our creativity. She tells us why it's so important to allow yourself to reset and reevaluate your life and what you want from it. And most importantly, she has no regrets. Here's Natalie.
So my name is Natalie. I am from Queens, New York. I have been traveling a bunch for the past year. I used to work in advertising, but left that job, and we'll get into that. And my ultimate dream was always to write a book. So I've been working on that for the past 10 months. That's been my main focus, and I'm a blogger and a yoga instructor. The book has been my dream since I was a child. Literally, reading is like my favorite activity, my most energizing thing that I do. And like since I was in middle school, I have memories of just like evading every responsibility, just like to read whatever I could get my hands on. And I've had like blogs since I was 13. So writing has always been just like a core part of my personality. Even when I was working in advertising, like writing the emails to tell the clients why we did what we did was always my favorite part of the job. So that's always been there. And yoga has kind of evolved into this really, really important part of my life, almost partially because of writing, I want to say. It was a hobby that I had just like to stay healthy for a long time, but I've had some shoulder injuries and back injuries that make it really hard to sit at a desk for a very long time. Like by the end of the day, I'm usually in quite a bit of pain. So yoga has become this like counterbalance for me from writing. And I feel like the two together really, really perfectly give me this, like, I don't know, this balance that I strive for.
So why did you, or rather, how and when did you get into advertising?
So I had these interesting dreams when I was young. When I was going into college, I wanted to study math and then take a math degree and go to law school. And then I didn't know what I wanted to do after law school, but I just thought that that was like a prestigious thing to do. And I didn't love the math program at the university I went to. So, and I had these history classes that I was obsessed with. And the professor kind of like helped me hone my writing skills in a really specific way. So I kind of followed him wherever he went, and I ended up doing a history degree, just because it was exciting for me. And then I felt like law school with a history degree, like everyone kind of applies to law school with a history degree. It wasn't something that was going to make me stand out. And I was like, I don't even know what I want to do with it. So I started just asking around, and someone I knew was starting a company in media. And they were like, well, if you want to intern, like we can't pay you, but come work with us for the summer and see if you like it. And I kind of fell in love with it. And that is the thing about like having quit my job, is that I loved what I did. There was like a beautiful community, and I was in college when I was interning there. So community was really important to me. Like I didn't want to go out into the world and not have any friends and not know how to create a social life in a new city. So that was what drew me to it. And yeah, I loved it while I was in it.
Okay. So this is really interesting. So you started as an intern and you really loved it.
Yeah.
So something must have changed between then and now. Do you sort of remember maybe when you started not loving it anymore, and what the reason for that might have been?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that happened was that when I was 26, I was hit by a car. And it took kind of a long time to heal. And it was just one of these like seismic shifts in my life. I at the time, I think was working from like 6 a.m. every day until 11 p.m. every day. But I was loving it. Like my team and I were up to our necks in work, but we were all like there for each other and like having a great time doing it. It was really creative work. I was working with Netflix at the time.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was amazing. And then that day that I was like, I was in the emergency room, just like on a stretcher. And I was like, but you guys don't understand. I have to be at Netflix at 8 a.m. tomorrow. And they looked at me and laughed and they were like, what is this girl talking about? She literally can't open her eyes. So I just kind of recognized that I had been like over prioritizing my career and not really paying attention to my own well-being. And even like after the recovery, I had to be taken off of Netflix because it was a really, really demanding account and I didn't have that energy anymore. Like I had to split my time between working and physical therapy and a lot of things. And I even kind of rushed back to work in a way that now I'm like, why would I have done that? But back then it was just something that was so important to me that I still prioritize it over my healing in some ways. So I think that that accident, and it was truly a near-death experience, I think that that was like my biggest perspective shift. Also in advertising, a lot of the way we socialize is like we drink a lot and we take clients out a lot. And so there's this big element of entertaining, I think is the right word.
Yeah.
And I stopped drinking really after my accident because I had been on like painkillers and antibiotics for a couple of months. So that kind of fell away from my life in a really noticeable way and in a way that made me feel like I didn't really fit in to the environment at work anymore. Then when COVID hit and we started working from home, I recognized that my favorite thing about my job, the thing that like drew me to it in the first place, was the sense of community. And when that was stripped away from my job and it was really just like looking at pictures of billboards on the side of the road, even if they were like really nice billboards, I was like, this is just no longer it for me.
Do you remember how you felt about your career? I guess maybe leading up to the accident or right before, like, did you kind of think about it in long-term perspectives at all? Like, what was your kind of, at that time, what did you feel like your goal was for your life in this career?
Yeah, it's funny. I, at that time, wanted to be like the vice president of an advertising agency. I was moving my way up like relatively quickly. I had, in the short term, my goals were to get as many awards for my team as possible for like media plan of the year and things like that. Like I was fully all in. I think earlier in my life, I didn't know that that was what I was going to want to do, but I loved it so much in the moment that I was willing to go the distance. I had never had the guts to call myself a creative person. And that kind of gave me this freedom within this like corporate job to really exercise my creativity. And at the time, I didn't realize how valuable that was. But now looking back on it, I'm like, oh, that's why I was so fulfilled by what I was doing, is because that's something that's important to me, being able to think creatively. And that gave me an avenue to do that. And also, I was just being pushed by bosses that believed in my growth. Like there were a lot of factors at that time that contributed to my like overall well-being. And I think that that is the thing ultimately, is that we can be nurtured in a lot of ways by our job. That's what gives me the drive to find something right now that offers me that, because there are moments of life when like we feel like our job is an energy suck and it doesn't fulfill us. And I just don't think that it has to be like that. Like, I think that my experience taught me that it can be fulfilling, even if it takes a lot. Like, that was the longest I ever worked in a day consistently. Mm-hmm. And it was also the most energized I was while I was working in advertising. So the two aren't mutually exclusive. It's just what gives you energy.
I think that's so true. And, you know, like, I found that a lot. Well, I realized the same thing kind of when I was thinking about quitting my job in corporate law that I really didn't like. And I was kind of trying to think, you know, is it because of the hours? Like, is that why I don't like it? And then I was looking back at, you know, stuff I did, like, okay, I know it's not really the same thing, but stuff I did in university, like, I used to, let's say, study or like prepare for something really late into the night and, you know, really early in the morning and several hours a day. And I didn't hate it. And so that kind of, it made me realize that I don't actually think that we mind so much, or a lot of people mind so much, working really long hours as long as they enjoy what they do.
Yeah.
I think the problem is when a job is demanding and not fulfilling, that's when it feels like you're wasting your life, or, you know, you don't have enough hours left in the day or whatever.
Correct. 100%. Yeah. I think it's just paying attention to, like, one, where our curiosity leads us, and two, what energizes us. Because ultimately, we don't want to start every day in the negative. Like, we want to be able to get to a place where we have energy to also do the things for us, but, like, to do the things that we need to do in order to feel fulfilled. And whether that's inside our job or outside of our job, like, we need to have that energy available to us.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm really curious about, you know, your kind of switch. So I realized there was the, obviously the horrible accident that made you, you know, not able to do, or maybe have as much energy as you had. But I'm really curious about the sort of mental switch of, this is no longer energizing me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's funny. So I kind of chased a dream job. I really wanted to work on Spotify. I love music as, like, a hobby, just listening to it, to be clear, but Spotify was, like, my white whale of an account that I really wanted to work on. I had been living in California at the time that I was working on Netflix, and I was really trying to move back home to New York where my family is, and Spotify's accounts are in New York. So I was, like, for 2 years, I think, really trying to make my way onto that team. And finally, I got offered the job, and it was supposed to be everything that I had wanted. And maybe it was that my expectations of the experience were so high because I'd wanted it for so long, but it turned out to be, like, one of those jobs that you just kind of plug and play. Like, you're not really thinking. They, like, wanted the same things every time. It wasn't super interesting to work on. So I think that, like, gave me a moment to reconsider. I was like, okay. And I think COVID hit maybe the same week, literally, that I was offered the job. So I was meant to move to New York, and I couldn't move because of the travel ban. So I started this new job working on an account that I thought would be just the most exciting account of my life. And I feel like starting a new job in COVID was one of the things that ended up being just one of the biggest challenges and maybe I had ever faced at work. I think that is the time that everyone really, like, was forced to examine the bones of their work, you know?
And it really went either one way or the other, I feel, like, with a lot of people in that time.
Yeah. I was doing everything I could to be as far away from my computer as possible because it just seemed like the computer was, like, the greatest source of my stress. Of, like, all of this, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, did you find that, because, so in the legal industry, a lot of people were complaining about, like, their employers kind of almost using COVID against them, almost being like, well, you've got nothing better to do because you can't really leave your house and everything's closed. You're not going to be going for dinner anywhere. So you don't really have an excuse not to work all the time or be available all the time.
Yeah, there was this, like, erasing of boundaries because my home suddenly was also my office and also my everything. And we were just expected to be accessible all the time. And I really struggled with anxiety in the pandemic. And I didn't really know why. I still kind of don't, because I love hanging out alone, I guess. Like, there are a lot of things that are exciting. But yeah, I was getting hives literally every single night. And like the thing that exacerbated it the most was the stress from work. And a lot of it was because like the media cancellations were the only thing that we were working on. Like, there was this fear, I think, that we would all lose our jobs because no one was outside. And if you work with billboards and no one is looking at the billboards, like, who's around to see them, you know? It was like a huge philosophical conundrum that was going to end up in like in our pockets, you know? So I think that there was a lot of work-related anxiety in a time that was already just emotionally draining.
Yeah, totally. And then it doesn't really matter how much you like your job. I mean, if you...
Totally.
That kind of stress can kind of make anybody just want to leave, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But it also turned out that once I got rolling, like, maybe it took 6 months or so for the pandemic to settle down enough for us to start really planning again. And once I did, I was still working from home. I didn't really know the team I was working with. I had never met them in person. And I just didn't care about what I was doing at all. Like, I didn't care about like my own growth in the company anymore. I didn't care if like plans were being approved or not. Like, I didn't care how much money the company was making. Like, nothing mattered to me anymore after that in terms of like how my career would evolve, where that had been important to me for a really long time. And so I sat with that like discomfort of not being fulfilled by my job. And I was like, but I know I like this industry. Like, I didn't really question that just yet. Like, after maybe a year working on an account that should have been exciting for me but wasn't, I was like, maybe it's just the company. Maybe I've outgrown this space and I need to try something different. And like, fortunately, at the very same time, another agency reached out and offered me an enticing opportunity to lead my own team and do something really interesting. And I was like, okay, well, things that I don't care about right now are billboards. But something that I do care about is just like human connection and like fostering other people's growth. And so maybe I can translate that care into a new job and start to feel fulfilled again. So I left this job that was like in so many ways my dream job and took a new job at like a really, really small agency, but that promised me kind of something just a little bit more deeply fulfilling. And I maybe lasted 6 months there and I was miserable. Just
really,
really miserable. Like, I was spending maybe 10 hours on Zoom every single day. And it might have been the culture of the company, but I think more it was just me realizing that, like, even though I tried to make a change and tried to hold on to my passion, it just wasn't there. I was grasping at straws at that point. So I had to face this realization that I was no longer being fulfilled by the work that I was doing, even though I tried. Like, I tried to pivot toward the things that I like about it, and even those weren't enough to hold me.
How did that feel, like the realization that you're losing a passion? Like, I can't really put my sort of head around that feeling. Was it kind of like when you lose feelings in a relationship? Like, was that what it was like?
Yeah, I think probably. I think equally devastating, you know. It's almost like a death. Like, it literally was the end of a life that I had spent so much time building, and the network that I had spent so much time building suddenly Yeah, no, it was really, really sad. Like, aside from the fact that work was making me really stressed and just trying to cope with that. Yeah, I was like mourning the end of something that I had spent so long putting myself into.
Did you, when you had that realization, was it obvious to you that you should change industry? Or was your first thought that, you know, maybe I'll give this another shot, but something completely different, but like still within the same kind of thing? Or
yeah, I mean, I think I didn't even think that far in advance. At some point, I was just like, I need to stop. Like, I cannot go on. And that was when I was like, I don't care if I have anything lined up. Like, I think I just need a break. I need to get away. So I decided to quit my job without having another job lined up, which is a really bold thing to do, I realized. But at the time, I just didn't even feel like I had an alternative, because going into something else would, with like negative energy, like not like negative as in bad, but like negative as in like below zero.
As in zero, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Was just not going to serve me or anyone that I would be working for. So I literally didn't even think that far ahead. Was just like, I just need to stop doing what I'm doing right now, and then I'll have kind of the ability to really clearly assess where to go next. But at the time, I was just so blinded by stress and anxiety that I couldn't see forward at all.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you were burnt out, honestly. Like,
so burnt out. Yeah. So burnt out.
I think that's such a common problem we find in the corporate world. And, you know, I think that's why so many people have this kind of, you know, almost like this vision or dream, or this kind of like, it seems unattainable, but it's so present, you know, of people kind of in that space, just feeling like, I just want to get out and do anything, you know, like, and I feel like it's very common for people to be like, I just want to go traveling. You know, I feel like that's the first thing people think of if they're like really burnt out or miserable in their job. It's like, I just want to leave this and be on a beach.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because I think we think that that will solve our problems. And if I tell you that I spent like the first however many days on a beach just crying, because I was still me and like taking all of my like stress with me. It's not a cure all. It does help though, because traveling, I think anytime you do it, shifts your perspective and like expands your horizons a little bit, like just opens you up to new experiences and things that you don't even know are possible when you're just mired in like the muck of day-to-day life. So in that way, I understand why it's where people's minds go, but it's not medicine that will take all your problems away still. Like, you still have to do a lot of work while you're doing it.
Let's go back a step. What did you do? So you had this realization and you just wanted to leave and you didn't really think about the future too much. You were kind of just like, I need to get out of this toxic situation.
Yeah.
So what happened next?
So I decided, as like the new year was coming up, it was 2021 going into 2022, that I was going to quit. I was resolved. I was going to turn 30 in a couple of months. And I had always kind of wanted to be able to reassess my like career and my life at 30. So I was like, this is the perfect time. And I didn't really know how to tell my company that I was going to quit, because again, like, I, not just I'm a people pleaser, but maybe a little bit that, but also I just really care about the people that I work with. And I didn't want to let them down. So I was like struggling, figuring out how to bring it to their attention, even though I think that they kind of knew, because they could tell that I was maybe a little bit checked out, definitely very miserable. I was crying all the time. So like on some level they had to know. But I went on vacation for like the last couple of days. We always get like a 2-week break around the holidays. And so for the last 4 days of the holiday, I was going to go to the Caribbean. And I didn't bring my computer because I was on vacation and I got COVID. So I got stuck there. I couldn't leave without a negative test. So I had to stay for an extra, not even that many days, like 6 days. But I got in a lot of trouble for not having brought my laptop, because my company was like, well, you need to work today. And I was like, how am I supposed to work today? I literally have COVID. And so I was so angry, I think, like literally I was having to work from my phone from this like not hospital bed, but like this hotel bed that I like couldn't leave. And I was like pinching and zooming on like small Excel grids from, I don't know, it was really nuts. I was so mad that they weren't respecting my need to feel well, that I wanted to like take my boss out to lunch and tell her there, but I just called her from this hotel room and was like, I'm sorry, I can't do this anymore. I quit. I'll give you 6 weeks if you need it, because that kind of aligned with when my apartment lease was going to end. And they ended up asking for 10 weeks, which is crazy. It's just like there were moments over and over again that proved that even though I was trying to set boundaries to maybe like maintain some semblance of sanity, they just overrode those boundaries and like kind of kept asking me for more. So in this moment when I'm trying to give my notice, they're like, you have to work while you're sick, and even though you don't have a computer and you want to work for 6 weeks, but how about 10? And I was like, this is, I gave them the 10 weeks because,
oh, you did?
I felt like I did. Yeah, I really didn't want to leave my team in a state where they would also be really stressed. Like, I didn't want to screw them over, and I just wanted to make it so that me leaving was the easiest possible thing for them. And like, ultimately, if they could fill my role with someone who actually cared, like, it would be in everyone's best interest.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to screw them. But yeah, I was just really angry with the way they kind of didn't respect the things that I was like screaming that I needed.
Yeah, I totally get that. I mean, it just sounds like, I don't know how to, I mean, it just sounds like they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot, you know, in a way, because it's like, you're making my point for me, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting how those moments like kind of fuel us in a really good way. Like, it's such a shit thing to experience, but then it pushes you over the edge that maybe you're like too nervous to go over yourself on your own. So they're like not great experiences, but they are really useful experiences.
100%. So then did you feel a sense of panic after you'd done that, or just relief?
No, it was the most relief I ever felt, I think. And then I became stressed again a couple of weeks later, because I was back in the work doing it really until the very end, right until I left. But in that moment, I think I felt like I was literally floating. I felt light, like a lot of the burden had been lifted, like this burden of carrying this job that I just didn't want to hold. And then also I felt for the first time in a really long time like I was making the right choice.
Yeah.
When I was offered the job that I in the end left, I was like thinking about it maybe for weeks. I was like, should I and shouldn't I, and what are the pros and cons and all of these things. And I was just like spinning in this decision making process. But when I left my job, there was none of that. It was just this like clarity that regardless of what was going to happen next, I was making the very correct choice in that moment. And then there was this element also of excitement, because I sat down and in one sitting planned this like travel route that was kind of places that I loved and places that I really wanted to see. And so anything that I think might have been stressful just melted away with excitement. And it's also worth mentioning that I think on some level I always knew that traveling the world was a goal of mine. So I had been consistently putting money into savings, and I feel like a lot of my friends now are maybe starting to buy homes and doing things, and this is like maybe the same amount of money that I had put away that could either have been towards something like that, but instead I put it toward this like dream of traveling. So it took a lot of, it wasn't this like even since COVID like 2 years of like feeling a little bit of discontent. It was a long time planning for something like this, I think.
That's really interesting, because I I had like a similar thing when I was still working. I was trying to buy a house and I had, you know, this set of savings that I'd been saving up for a deposit. And I was so set on using it for that. And then it fell through for whatever reason. Just like really difficult to buy a house in London. And then, you know, it was almost like a blessing in disguise where I then, you know, because I, you know, because I didn't have a mortgage, I was kind of able to quit my job a bit more sort of freely because I didn't have anything sort of looming over me. And then, you know, now I kind of have that money as a backup plan, you know, as I kind of make my new career in this new kind of, well, what I'm doing now, which is freelancing. So it's just, it's just interesting how certain decisions kind of end up being, you know, the best thing you could have done without you really sort of realizing it.
Yeah, I love that. No, that's amazing. And that's exactly what it is. Yeah. And then it also just becomes about maybe I want to say, no, I was going to say like prioritizing your sanity, because there is like something really helpful for me about having like a safety net of funds. Like I've heard it be called a fuck you fund for like when you just need to tell your company like fuck you, I gotta go.
I love that.
And I really like that. Yeah. Because I think that's what I ended up doing. But just like even to start, for me it was traveling and ultimately traveling just so I could write a book. I could have been in New York. I think it wasn't so much about seeing other places, although that was amazing, but it was mostly being in countries where I could afford to like stay a long time and just like focus on this project that I was working on. But to be able to fund our dreams is like the, like what better use of money?
Yeah. I have two questions about the book project.
Yeah.
So as you were kind of telling the story, I was thinking about whether it ever crossed your mind to start writing on the side of your job that was making you miserable, kind of as a way to, I don't know, make yourself happier or kind of, you know, feel like you have more control over your hours or something, or like you're doing something in your day that's for you, or, you know, something like that. Like people always talk about doing that.
Yeah. So, well, I had like a consistent journaling practice, but that's a little different from writing for like public consumption. That was mostly just to get a handle on my own thoughts. So I was doing that, and I was trying, I think, for at least a short amount of time, maybe like 6 months, I was trying. And I had, there was someone who worked at the agency that I went to that I ultimately left. And he was maybe like the CFO or something like that. And he was an artist. Like he had like gallery showings and things like that. Like in addition to his day job, he also had this, not even side hustle. He had like two halves of himself that, that were both like the full expression of what it could be. Yeah. And so I would like set up calls with him frequently and be like, how are you doing this? Like, give me any insight into like being an artist at the same time as having like a full-time corporate job, because I do not understand like how to balance those two things.
Yeah. Like, where's his time coming from?
Yes. Where is his time coming from? And the advice that he gave me, which I could not like execute, was to make time your friend instead of your enemy. So I think sometimes we think that we need really, really big blocks of time in order to accomplish the things that we want. And he's like, but if you have 5 minutes and you can write a little bit in 5 minutes, it's better than waiting for a block of time an hour long and never finding that hour. So I kind of tried to incorporate that practice, but if I tell you that I was literally on calls like 10 hours a day where they were watching me because my camera was always on, even if it didn't need to be. I didn't, even those 5 minutes, I didn't really feel like I had that time.
I mean, with writing, I feel, because I'm, you know, I'm also a writer. I really love writing.
Yeah.
But I feel like it takes you know, the first kind of 5 minutes is just you trying to gather your thoughts, right?
Yes.
Like it's not.
Yes, you have to be able to get into it.
Yeah, you really do. You need to be in a mood. And I always felt like, okay, so there's two things that I felt. Number one, you know, if I spend 10 hours at work writing contracts that are super dry, right? Or, you know, legal letters.
Yeah.
That takes all of my sort of writing capacity of the day. Like I'm not able to then go home and like, oh, I'm going to write a book now. Like, no, that's not going to happen.
Yep.
And I'm curious to see how you felt about this after you quit. Because the moment I sort of quit, I suddenly felt like I had the mental space to be creative. Like I felt like I kind of suppressed that for so long. And then when I didn't have all this other clutter in my head all day, I suddenly had all these ideas for things I wanted to write, like blog posts and articles and short stories and all
coming
that
up
stuff.
With
and
the podcast,
like, the podcast, right? So it's I think you kind of need a bit of general mental headspace to get into that mood, if that makes sense.
100%. Yeah, and yeah. Now I'm kind of struggling a little bit even with that because I do want, again, a career that fulfills me, but writing is so my priority that I'm like, what can I do for an income that would still allow me that mental and emotional capacity to continue being creative in my free time? Because it didn't even take me a whole day. Like once I cleared a little bit of space in my mind just having quit, like already I could feel things flowing much more easily. And you're right, it does take time. Like you kind of have to sit and like meander on the page for a little bit before you find your direction. And then like once, this is my problem for, it's not a problem, it's like really a gift actually, is that I get really lost in what I'm doing. And if that is advertising or if that is writing, like I lose time when I'm really focused on something. And so there was no 5 minutes of writing for me. It was always like I sit and then all of a sudden I look up and it's 2 hours have passed and I have like maybe a page, maybe more, maybe less of like something that's good or bad, but I stepped out of time for that moment. And so like small blocks really just have never served me in the same way as like being able to get lost in what I was doing.
Yeah. And then, so my second question about the book project is like, how's it going now? So you quit your job and then do you still feel as excited about it? Like I want to talk about what you kind of just said, which was, you know, your thoughts of how can you make an income and still focus on this? So like, how have you kind of navigated that issue?
Well, yeah, that has been the adventure of the past couple of months at least. So I haven't worked in 10 months. And I think my first round of traveling was 6 months and the entire time really I was not just energized about it, but I was like, this is not a dream. This is reality. Like, yes, I'm living my dreams, but something is going to come to fruition from this because I just know it. it was undeniable to me in my mind. And then basically the moment I landed back in New York and was surrounded by all these like hustlers and entrepreneurs, suddenly my dream felt almost unreachable. Like, certainly it was a dream again and something that was like almost silly. So I really not struggled to stay motivated because I kept up with the writing, but I struggled to still envision it becoming a tangible thing. And then also like New York is expensive. It's not Thailand or India where I could sustain myself for a really long time without having to make an income. So that bubble also kind of popped. And I was like, all right, it's time to make money. there were two jobs that I was offered as freelance opportunities in advertising that I was like, well, I'll just take these and I'll kind of give these like 2 months everything I have and I'll make this money. And then I'll use that to kind of like sustain me for a period of like writing. That was going to be my thing, was like 2 months on, 2 months off was my next plan. But the agency that I worked for has a really strict non-compete clause. So for 1 year, I'm not able to do any work in advertising, which has ultimately been a blessing because every extra day that I have not doing that work, I'm like, okay, well, so what else can I do that will enhance my writing or enhance my like well-being? How can I take this time and use it most productively for myself? But on the other hand, figuring out how to make an income has been like a great challenge.
I mean, it's just wild to me that they can put a non-compete like that on a freelancer. Because yeah. Like, you're, what else are you supposed to do? Like
100%. Well, it's super unethical. Like, and I think that definitely New York is working to change that, but I think the entire country is actually working to eradicate non-competes, because how is someone supposed to make an income when they have like a specific skill set and you're not allowed to transfer it to a different place? Like, yeah. But in the end, I do truly think that it's a blessing because it's forcing me to get a little bit more creative than I've ever been able to get in terms of income. Like, now I'm looking at affiliate marketing and maybe connecting with brands that really resonate and trying to do copywriting, like maybe long form copywriting for companies. So
is that kind of your, is that your idea of like what a successful sort of balance would look like for you now, where you kind of do a little bit of that, like a little bit of stuff that kind of involves writing but might not be like super fun? Or maybe it is, I don't know. And then on the side, it gives you kind of that space and time and like, yeah, just freedom a little bit to focus on what you really care about, which is this book that you're writing.
That is an option, I think. I do think that I have like maybe really high standards or criteria for the next job that I take, because I want it to be something that is like mentally stimulating and like something that I really want to engage with on one hand, and then the flip side is something that requires like no mental stimulation so that I could put it all toward my book. I'm kind of playing out 100 different scenarios in my mind right now, and they range from like, again, part-time advertising and then using that to fund like longer terms of not working or working at a cafe. That's something that I've been thinking of that I think I would really actually love to do, but I don't know how to really sustain a life that way. Or yeah, I don't know, there are maybe like 10 avenues that I'm genuinely considering, that I'm just kind of casting a really wide net and reaching out to anyone who's willing to have a conversation with me about like whether or not I would fit in doing what I imagine I would be doing with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long have you given yourself, have you given yourself a sort of deadline, or is there like a financial deadline for you? Like, is there a point where you kind of need to have your stuff figured out?
Yeah, I think I thought that point was the beginning of this year.
Okay.
So I have maybe, also I'm living with my parents right now, which kind of eases a huge financial burden.
Yeah.
Realistically, if I'm being honest, I have until April before I'm scrambling. And so and that works out well for me because that's also when my non-compete is up.
Oh, brilliant.
But I hope that that's just like a safety net that I never actually have to use. And it seems like a long enough runway for me to try and carve out some space for myself, either as like a full-time blogger. That would be, I think that would be my dream. Or really whatever path, like I'm looking now at yoga opportunities to maybe trade accommodation in Mexico to be a yoga teacher at like a hostel or a hotel. So I'm trying to get pretty creative with how I sustain my life without compromising the things that I know would be too mentally taxing for me to continue writing, because my priorities just shifted so far toward like, this is the only thing that I really care about producing in my entire life, that anything else is really just bonus. But also, not to like take us too far on this tangent too, but I was saying that I have really high standards for my next job. Like, I want to do a job that fulfills me. And like, writing this book is fulfilling, but ultimately, like, if I could do a job that in some way serves the greater good, then that also would feed my writing in a different way. Mm-hmm. I was reading this article yesterday about how a bunch of people are quitting their jobs and taking jobs in like the field of like climate conservation, or I don't know, just because people are realizing that no matter what else we accomplish, like if we don't solve like that specific problem, then nothing else matters. So just focusing on like where the world needs help and maybe directing my energies in those directions. I think I'm really fortunate to have a moment to pause and consider like what I'm good at, what feeds me, and also how I can translate that to serve the greater good. Ultimately, I think that that's the benefit of this time to be able to think.
I mean, I think ultimately we just want to feel important in a way, or like feel like we're helping, or feel like we've done something, you know, in our life that kind of was beneficial to someone or something other than ourselves. I totally recognize that. And I do think it's interesting that you're kind of referring to this time as your time to think, because it suggests to me that, you know, you're not kind of just, you're not sort of blindly just continuing on this, you know, well, let's see how long I can last without a job. You know, it doesn't feel like that at all. It feels like you do kind of have a vision for yourself in the future. You're just not 100% sure what that vision is. And it could be a whole number of things, because, you know, we're not all sort of, we don't all just like one thing, you know, like I have a ton of interests that would probably keep me fulfilled in different ways.
Exactly.
So it's more like, you trying to figure it out, which I admire.
Yeah, no, none of this time has been frivolous, I want to say. Like, I feel like for me, the most precious and finite resource is time. And so I take my own time really seriously. And that includes being really, really intentional about the direction that I go in. And I think that there's something about that that's not paralyzing, but this idea that like my next move has to be my right move is something that I think I'm trying to overcome a little bit, because if it's not, I know firsthand that you can always pivot, but I just want to go into the next phase of my life with as much like clarity and intention as possible, and not, I don't want in the end to be scrambling for anything and just like take something because I need it. I want to be in a position to go forward knowing that it's the right thing for me and for like those around me also.
Yeah. I feel like we're going to need a second interview when you've like, when you've started your next thing, whatever it is, just to like catch up with you and see where it all went.
Yeah, I think so. Right now I'm still in the phase of like figuring it out, but it's still, even though there are moments when it's challenging and I'm like, am I doing, or what is the next right thing for me? There is not a moment when I question whether or not I've made the right choice. It certainly was the right choice, even though I don't know exactly where I'm going next.
Thank you so much for listening today, folks. Since the recording of that episode, Natalie has gotten a coach to help her cultivate her career as a freelance writer, which she says is going well. She's also teaching yoga and, in her own words, forging a whole new path. If you want to check out some of Natalie's writing, she's got a personal blog and a newsletter. You'll find the links to both of those in our bio on Instagram. She's done a great piece called The Discipline of Rest, which could be helpful to anyone who has a tendency to overwork and might need a second to pause from time to time. We're now going to take a short break, and we'll be back with new episodes in a few weeks. See you next time on Unmaking It.